This morning I was searching the heart of the Lord, and before I go to what the Lord gave, I'd like to ask how many were blessed last week with Russell and Nancy. Okay. I look forward to see what the Holy Spirit wants to do down the road with these two, so we'll just obey the Lord, I promise you that. I heard in my heart this morning, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I wrote it down and said, okay, Lord, out of the abundance of your heart, or my heart, my mouth will speak. Well, if it's my heart, as you heard me speak earlier, there's a selfish love that's inside of us, and then there's a selfless love that's inside of us. One that is looking to satisfy the requirements that I want for me. And much of that is based in lust. And it functions. I'm not trying to tell you that it isn't real. It functions. It does work. But its fruit are going to be released out of your mouth. How many have ever heard their mouth go off because selfish love is operating? Thank you. So out of the selfish part of me, which is my soul, my mind, will, and emotions, functioning, purposing to go forward in order to satisfy that which I have claimed is mine, whether it's with a religious mindset or a carnal mindset, the results are the same. But out of a selfless love, our Savior was released into the earth. And I reminded the girls this morning when we walked in here, because it was very cold, he was born in a stable. Not much heat. Poor conditions. And so therefore he would baffle the world, because they were expecting a king to be born in a cap in a palace. But he wasn't born in a palace. He was born in very odd conditions. I remember several years ago listening to a beautiful lady out of Albany giving us some of the details as to why Jesus had to be born in a stable. And the stable in those days was probably a lean-to for a little cave in the midst of the woods. Now everybody knows the legal place for him to be born was Bethlehem. The name Bethlehem means house of bread. It was also the place, which I did not know, and this lady informed us that all of the sheep that were prepared for the temple worship had to be born in. Otherwise, the high priest would not accept them. Now, you know, Jesus is the Lamb. So that lamb had to be born in the fields with all the other lambs. There could not be a birth of this type in a fancy, fancy hotel. How does that relate to me and you? How does that relate to my selfish heart? Well, I think when you look at the heart of the Father, who gave up his Son even before he gave him up on the tree, he let him be born in a field. What kind of love is that? Did he have a plan that had to unfold that would release into the earth the real reason why men are so selfish? If you go back to Adam and Eve, the serpent was very sneaky and said, if you take a good look at this fruit, it's awesome. It's good for eating. Your eyes will be open. Your understanding will become awesome. And you'll be just like God. What was he appealing to? A selfless heart or a selfish heart? Did Adam and Eve have a selfish heart at that time? No. Were their needs met according to the riches of our God? They were. But you see, the enticement to them was how to develop a selfish heart. The enemy will come at you with thoughts of selfish motivations to satisfy your lusts. He will come at you with thoughts and ideas so that you can become like the serpent. The Lord will provide other thoughts of selflessness. He will provide love in a selfless way. And then you will become more and more like the lamb that was prepared in that field. Even in his birth, he was selfless. As he grew up, he was selfless. You don't see him advertising about his childhood being so great. When he got to be a young man, he started to release some of the truth of his selflessness. And he irritated the leaders of his day. What does that have to do with you and me? Let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 3. Verse 1, my son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. My son, do not forget my teachings. Keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your neighbor's heart, so that they'll always be kind to you. They'll always love you to satisfy every one of your lusts. Is that the wrong Bible? Misprint. What, you understand that the enemy has printed a few things of his own. And I'm trying to give you an understanding of how we justify our need for, number one, attention. Number two, the way I want things done is my way or no way. So if you don't like it, hit the highway. Yeah? And how many relationships are based in this type of background? How many have lived this type of background?
I have.
Yeah, you don't need to be ashamed of it. That's where you were. You might even have some inklings of the same still operating in you and me. Amen? Do we get upset about it? If I see it. If I see it, I can do something. How many have seen their mouth get away with something once in a while? And when you see what's come out of your mouth, out of the fullness of that heart, it's not selfless love, it's selfish love. So God is saying, okay, now you see what you got inside of there? How are you going to get cleaned up? Proverbs, do not forget my teachings. So don't get your teachings from, what do they call it now? We talked about it Friday night. At the Bible study, we talked about the Desperate Housewives. Well, it was a men's meeting. Come on now.
That's what we talked about.
So we talked about Desperate Housewives. Is that the truth, Bob? That's one way to seduce these guys to find out what happens at the men's meeting. I'm teasing aside. We didn't discuss all the details, but we did discuss some of those things. Amen?
I'm
going
to get quizzed on the way home.
You're going to get quizzed on the way home.
Before I go
home. Eugene, you got a big smile going on there, so maybe we'll see you next Friday, huh? All teasing aside. Let love and faithfulness, verse 3, never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Now, what are you trying to do? Impress men? You're going to impress them with the selfish heart, or you're going to impress them with a selfless heart? Depends on which servant you are. Romans 6:16 says, I'm a slave to whom I submit to, correct? To whom you submit to, you become a slave to. If you are accustomed to satisfying your own way, you're going to find that your mouth is going to advertise how much you need, how much you want, and when you want it, and when it should have been done for you. Amen? And as soon as something pushes against this, what are you going to find inside of you? There's a little motor. Doesn't sound like Sylvester the cat. It's more like a roaring little lion, and it's not the Lion of Judah. And it roars. And it grinds a little more. And you get a little more angry, and I didn't get what I wanted, and I didn't get it the way I wanted it. And what is wrong with them? I can tell you this. I watched my father as I was growing up. My father became a full-time alcoholic because of selfishness. And then he blamed everybody else around him for his excuse of carrying a full case of liquor in the trunk of his car. After all, he was perfect. He was getting rid of his problem. But he was creating problems for a few other people around him, wasn't he? It got to the point that I couldn't stand what I was watching. I got news for you. I did forget the teachings that I had learned as a young man. I did not keep the command of love in my heart. I got a new command out of what I watched. And it was hatred. It was repulsive to me to be in the same area where he was inebriated and I had to put up with it. Whose heart was I developing? Was I developing a godly heart? Was I developing a demonic heart? And the more it continued, It increased in power. And in case you think it lasted 6 months, I got news for you. It lasted 17 years. And one day the Holy Spirit knocked on my door. And he said, Kim. And he got my attention. He kept knocking. Kim. He baptized me in the Holy Ghost in the midst of this stuff, and I began to pray in tongues, still not understanding the first four syllables that I got. And why the interpretation came of those first four syllables. The first four syllables were Abadae. And they came out of me like rapid fire machine gun. And I kept saying, what am I saying? And I kept hearing inside my spirit, Daddy loves me. Well, there was no way that I felt that my father loved me. At that time, I only had one father, the fleshy one that I saw, who was drinking himself to death. It's all I could see. I couldn't see the Spirit of God trying to change my heart from selfishness to selflessness. I was so wounded and so hurt and so disappointed that this was my second father, and this second father blew it. The first father gave me away. And I don't want to go into that story. I want you to understand that there was a reason why God was allowing this selfish heart to become so selfish and so hardened that it didn't want any more pain. We talked about vows the week before. I made some vows. I made some vows that there would be no father in my life as far as I was concerned, because fathers I had given up on. They were useless and powerless to change and to release any kind of grace to me. But then this wonderful new tongue kept declaring, Daddy loves me, Daddy loves me. Well, I didn't believe it. Now, I didn't have an attitude. Yes, I did. I had a horrible attitude. I had an attitude, God, you're going to prove yourself to me, blah, blah, blah. And guess what? He took me on. And guess who was more powerful than I was? He was. And he began to chop me down. Yeah. Why? Because it was time for me to begin to intercede for the father who couldn't care for himself anymore. Who had been so wounded by alcohol. That now it was the very tool of survival. Because one day the Lord said to me, do you have any idea why your father's drinking himself to death? And I responded quite full of anger, no! Then the Lord said to me, a few days later, because I kind of cooled down, will you thank me for the booze? Will you praise me for his alcoholism? Didn't make a darn bit of sense, but it was based on the word that I knew was his word. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you, Kim. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Forgive and release forgiveness. Matthew 18, verse 19. Two of you in agreement will get anything from your father. But then verse 20 says, if you forgive them, it's got to be conditional to forgive. The Lord was putting these words in front of me. Notice, it says, my son, do not forget my teachings. I had never been under the anointing of his teaching. But now it was starting to take place. And the Lord said to me, do you understand that while your father was drinking himself to death, he did not commit suicide because it kept him numb? And I said, oh my God. And by the way, he was using drugs at the same time. They just came from the drug counter, that's all. They didn't come from the corner street or the street corner. There's many young folks out there that are drugging themselves because the pain is so bad they can't live one more day without it. And the only reason they're still there is because somebody's interceding for them. And it just might be you. So many are into alcohol and all kinds of mind-altering garbage. But the intent of the Lord is to save them. And when He does, He will deliver them and free them by His Spirit, which is the selfless love that He has in His heart through Christ Jesus for them. He didn't die just for me. He died for my dad as well. And that day, I broke. And I began to understand why He had to save me first. He had to just transform me enough to start looking at selfless ways of restoration to come to life in my family, rather than the selfish way I had now learned to occupy. And I did occupy. And I did survive. And I did do all these things that kept us going. So what kind of heart are you forming today? Is it a heart to take on the ones that are wounding you and find out what you can intercede for them to come to life? Or is it a heart that is so self-centered that it's going to continue the hatred and the anger and the resentment and the bitterness? It's up to you. Are you going to be focused on His teachings to place them in your heart and bind them around your neck? It's up to me. It's up to you. You see, there's a purpose for this word. Verse 4, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. If it's a conditional thing, then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Wow. What benefits of changing your mind and changing your heart from what you were to what you need to become? Verse 7 is worth quoting. Do not be wise in your own eyes. I was very wise in my own eyes. I knew that my father could have changed if he wanted to, but as far as I knew, he didn't want to. I didn't understand his brokenness. I didn't understand his pain. I didn't have a compassionate heart to even understand or try to understand. The anger had blinded me. How many have ever had anger blind them? You're so furious that you just don't care anymore. Bad words. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. Well, I was joining the evil club because it was comfortable. Verse 8 is an extra bonus. This will bring health to your body. This change of attitude, this change of heart will bring what? Health to your body. What a promise. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Wow. Well, Kim, I've had trouble with my bones, and I don't think God cares about me. I've had trouble with my back, and I can't even get free. It's always been there, and it's always going to be there. Well, you've already made the decision not to apply God's word, and that's perfectly okay by him and by me. But don't ask him to heal you, because your attitude's wrong. You're focused on who? Self. Selflessness is the goal of the believer if he's interested in gaining wisdom from the Lord and from favor from the Lord. And believe me this morning, our hearts are not always visible, but the grace of God is here today to release that vision to see yourself. Not to live where you lived last year or last week. Not to live in the selfish motivation. But to come up a little higher. And to get God's plan of salvation in your hearts. How can God change an alcoholic or a drug addict? How? Except someone stand in the, has he ordained you to stand in the gap? Has he given you a heart to pick them up because they're not wanting to live anymore, not wanting to go forward anymore? It's up to you. If you have a search inside your heart right now, I'm going to ask you to just put your Bible down. Lord Jesus, for those who have a heart to carry someone, for those who have had a press in their hearts to release grace and intercession for a broken person in their lives, would you bring to their hearts right now, Lord Jesus, just one person that needs prayer today? Just one. If you have a person's name or face that has come up into your mind or inside your head, I want you to stand. You have one person, just one. Your hands to the Lord, please. Say, Lord Jesus, if I've judged them in any way, if I was angry with them in any way, and if my heart was selfish in any way, I lay it down today. I ask that you forgive me. And I ask that you release unto me the grace to pick up their pain, to pick up their brokenness. Because Lord Jesus, I'm going to stand in the gap today. I'm going to lift them up before you. And I'm going to ask you to heal them. Save them. Redeem them. And set them free from what's happened to them. Maybe they've had more pain than I could conceive. Even more than me. Maybe they've been more wounded. More than me. I ask that you release my spirit now to intercede for them. Like it says in Romans 8, when I don't know how to pray. I trust your spirit to intercede through me to set them free. Release your spirit right now. Hoshe Ariala Hachona Kie Oya Yedo Koyed Kotana Shin Queda Sindari Ete Koyata. Orari Kodadia Le Koyed Kotana Sandra Rakateri Ura Babarotana Hashandra Rakashia Teleokoya Tekiata. Ora Babaros and Dolegate Kotier Kotana Shandri Ala Hatea. Ora Babasoto to Shiki Ala Haye. Aravara Toro Saturu Shandri after Konashi Herahie. Ora Baratara. Merciful Jesus, glorious Savior, I thank you for the redemption of those that have been wounded. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. Say it with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the redemption of those who have been wounded, for the release of grace to their hearts, not only for salvation, but for redemption. And to take everything that's happened to them and gloriously redeem them. Fill them with your grace, Lord Jesus. Fill them with your mercy. And hold no sin against them. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God for the things he has done. With his blood he has saved me. With his power he will raise me. To God be the glory for the things he has done.